friend. It's great to be with you on this Church Tips podcast, and I'm excited today to be with my good friend Jamie Austin from the great state of Oklahoma. What's going on today, Jamie?
Hey, Dick. Thank you so much for having me on, and I tell you, just to have the opportunity to reconnect with you. In the early days of pastoring here at Woodlake, yeah, and I'm not just saying this, man, you were crucial as a consultant holding our hand in church revitalization, which we didn't even know what that was almost 15 years ago now. At least, man. I didn't anyway. And so it's just an honor to be with you today, man.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, the Lord was good to us in those days, and the Lord's good to us today. Well, we're excited to be able to talk. You know, you and I here a week or so ago, we talked about a subject that really, I'll use the term near and dear to your heart. It's the subject is not a near and dear kind of subject, but it. I heard the passion coming out of your voice on the issue of church movements. Now, we're inside the Assemblies of God, but, you know, this podcast is going to Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Independents, you name it. So, but the fact is, baby boomers are heading off the scene.
Right.
And there's not enough 20s and 30-somethings coming up in the ranks. So, talk to us. What should the church, big C and little c, local church, be thinking about?
Yeah, you know, this is something that all denominations, all non-denominations are dealing with. Obviously, we're going to be talking about it from the Assemblies of God standpoint. So a little bit of some bumpers on this here. But what we're seeing is this mass shortage of pastors, those stepping into not just senior pastoring roles, but even staff pastoring roles, youth pastors, children's pastors. In fact, I was talking to a pastor the other day. He said, I cannot even find people to interview. In fact, he kind of made the joke. He said, I'd interview anybody right now, but I can't even find anybody to interview. So that lines up with what we're seeing statistically right now, which is very concerning that we're having this drop off of ministers. In fact, in the Assemblies of God in 2022, those under 40 make up only 17% of our overall credential holders. That is not just concerning. That is frightening. Absolutely frightening.
Yeah, it really is.
I was talking to
In my interactions with these other fellowships, is they're facing the very same thing. It's not a unique to one fellowship at all.
Right. In fact, I was talking to one of our denominational leaders the other day, and they were talking about the concern about. Even our Bible colleges are producing fewer and fewer credentialed ministers. There was at least one of our Bible colleges that produced zero credentialed ministers. And I was thinking back in the 90s when I graduated, there were just my institution alone, there were nearly 200 of us coming out with credentials in hand. Yeah. So we got a major problem right now. In fact, some have deemed it the pipeline has dried up. Or we got a broken pipeline. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. I think it's time to rethink that at the denominational level, at the non-denominational level. But I think the answer will be found in our local churches.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about that. Yeah. I mean, the out of the church comes pastors. So let's go to the local church first. What should the local church be thinking about in this vein?
Dick, that's a great question. In fact, it's kind of interesting. If you look at the early days of the Assemblies of God, us being Pentecostal and Spirit-filled, it wasn't until recently that we actually realized the value of education. So we're kind of late to the ballgame in that. However, in the early days, we were a very pioneering movement. So it wasn't uncommon for somebody to come to a church, they get saved, they receive mentoring and training at the local church level, and then either A, launched out, or especially in the early days of our movement, that the church was handed off to those individuals. There is something to that. I really believe that. And I think it's time that the local church begin to answer their own question of how do we get the pipeline going again? Now, that could look like local ministerial training, schools of ministry, schools of leadership. In fact, I talked to one of our larger churches in our district, churches just a little over 2,000 people, and they actually have a leadership training school in their church, and they have a large pastoral staff. And the pastor told me, he said, my entire staff, this is a mother church. I believe they have 6 affiliate churches. The entire staff has come out of their church except for one staff member. And that was the thing. He said, really? We're going to deal with the frustration ourselves. We're going to raise them up. We're going to train them. We're going to get them the education. And then we're going to launch them out. I believe we're going to see a reversion back to that, that churches have to get serious, and not just serious, but intentional about raising up ministers and staff members.
Okay, so let me tread where I shouldn't be, you know, where I should be fearful of treading.
Go for it.
I worked for a Central Bible College for a number of years, and we began to see fewer and fewer students coming in that sensed the call of God on their life to full-time ministry.
Right.
And so I'm going back. This is where it gets dangerous. And man, I love youth pastors. I love children's pastors. But I'm not sure I would submit that maybe in the local church, in our effort to be broad in God's call to every believer, which is true, we maybe have somehow diminished that unique call to give your life to full-time vocational ministry. And so, we would see students showing up at the Bible college, and they, if they were oriented to something, they were oriented to youth ministry.
Right.
Because they just left a youth group and their youth pastor was the best. They weren't thinking children's pastor, because it's been 6 years since they were in children's ministry.
Right.
You know, and everything I get is about the immediate. But what can we do at the local church level to raise the value of being called to ministry?
Right.
I mean, you think about it. We listen to stats. People talk about how many people got saved this month or this year, how many people got baptized. I don't hear how many people received a call to ministry.
Right.
I think we need to raise that. I don't know. I mean, is that even possible Absolutely. At the local church level?
Absolutely. Let me piggyback on you, because I think, and again, we're talking from an Assembly of God standpoint. You know, for probably good reasons, at least on paper, we closed down our only institution that was directed directly at ministerial training. I believe we're seeing the effects of it now, if I'm honest. We have diminished. I believe
because that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah. You know,
was that about 10 years ago, 9 years ago?
Yeah. And I believe in the entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah. You got a lot of people that are going to Bible college and say, yeah, I want to be in ministry, but I want to be in marketplace ministry, which is completely valid. However,
we get it. Yep.
We've got to get back to this idea. I have been called by God. I've been anointed by God. And at some point, I got to put my hand to the plow and not look back. There is something to that. And also, I think we need to train our ministers and young people that are coming up, men and women. Of course, we're in the AG. We're cool with that, right? Men and women. That it's not just about a title. In fact, I was listening to a podcast recently talking about the value of a minister on staff, that if they would adhere to their call and not their title, they become more valuable to the organization because they're not stuck in one particular area. I think right now, in fact, we're talking with our staff. We just had this meeting recently that our future hires, we're going to hire individuals knowing they're not going to be with us forever. It may be 5 to 8, maybe 10 years, and we're going to launch them out. In Oklahoma right now, in the Assemblies of God, we have 24 open churches, and I'll be honest with you, we can't even find anybody to go to these places. Some of them can pay good salaries even. And so it's very concerning right now. But I think the local churches have to step up and go, hey, I'm going to hire this youth pastor. I'm going to hire this kids pastor, or maybe this small group leader or whatever it is. Or, you know, good church member Joe has got a call of God on his life. I recognize that. I'm not only going to call it out, but I'm going to raise him up. And I'm going to launch them out, and I'm going to be more concerned about the church, big C, not just my church, little C. In fact, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. He said it so beautifully. He said, we've got to be concerned about the kingdom, not just our castles. So I think the answer to that is going to be found in pastors with a vision for the kingdom of God, that they don't mind raising up that youth pastor, that children's pastor, that board member. Dick, there was a day that there were, in fact, I've talked to several of our older ministers in Oklahoma. They said, when I was serving on a church board and out of nowhere, God called me.
Really?
And the pastor Pastor called it out in me, and here we go. But we've got to bring back that sense of there's a spiritual nobility to the call of God that I'm going to step out in faith. And I know I had aspirations of being a businessman or businesswoman, or I've had aspirations of doing this or doing that. I think we all did, but God called me and I forsook it all and said yes to the Lord. But I think local churches, I think maturing pastors have got to step up and fill that gap. One of the stats I looked at just recently in the Assemblies of God right now, the median age of active ministers is 53 years old.
Ministers
is 58. So, I know in our movement, we're already recognizing the challenges in Oklahoma right now, just in credentialed ministers alone, we lost 30 just from last year to this year. So no wonder there's a shortage right now, but I think the local church, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So is that through death or retirement or both, or what is that? That 30 that we lost?
That's everything. That's ministers that quit, ministers that died. So you just look, and that's with us bringing on so many in the year two. We're still at a negative 30 over last year.
Yeah. So let's shift gears now. I think you're a presbyter there in your district. Mm-hmm. Are you still a presbyter?
I am.
So you didn't follow my advice to do two and out, did you? So
yeah, you were.
Daryl wouldn't let you do that.
Warn me. I'm still
okay, but let's go to Big C now. Let's talk about a fellowship,
right?
You know, whether it's the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Assemblies of God, the Lutherans, and how does a fellowship do this? Because they're not, you know, they're in this headquarters,
right?
But they're the direct. How does that happen at the national or district level, however a church is structured?
These are opinions, and I reserve the right to be wrong. But I'll say this. I think that at the local district level, in the Assemblies of God, we have what we call DSOM, District Schools of Ministry, or in Oklahoma, we call OSOM, Oklahoma School of Ministry. I think it's imperative that we beef that up, that it's not just about getting people through credentials, but it's also about job placement or ministry placement opportunities. So I think there's going to need to be a lot of tweaking in that. In fact, we're doing that right now. We have a new director over that. And I know our district superintendent, Dr. Daryl Wooten, that's his passion right now. So I think as a district, that's where we're going to start. We're going to beef that up. We're going to involve more people teaching. And then also at the end of it, we're going to be very clear about tracks. Hey, a next gen track, a senior pastor track, associate pastor track, administrative pastor track. And then when they graduate these programs, we're going to talk about job placement and get them connected. The second thing that I want to talk about is this. I believe ministers, men and women, need to recognize a patriarchal or matriarchal anointing on their life. Meaning this, God has called me to raise up next, either next generation or who's next. I know this is not a, I want to be careful when I say this. All the apostles are in heaven. However, I believe in an apostolic anointing over individuals' lives. And I think if we can lean into that and cultivate that at the district level, denominational level, that there are individuals that just have a natural calling. In fact, right now I sit at a desk. This chair and the desk I'm sitting behind right now, where I pastor my home church, if we didn't point that out, my pastors, Armin Newbern, H.A. Brummett, if you look at their history, countless ministers and missionaries were launched out from underneath them. That was normative, and we've got to get back to that.
Yeah, no, that is so good. The good thing about this is the conversation you and I are having is not an isolated conversation.
Right.
This kind of conversation is happening in denominational headquarters all over the country. It'd be interesting to know, even around the world, what's going on. I'm guessing they're facing the same kinds of things. Although the church in Europe, they have bigger issues to deal with their decline. Right. But I really believe that with men and women leading the charge like you're doing in Oklahoma, that the greatest days of the church are still ahead.
I agree.
We've got to deal with this leadership shortage, but it can be done.
Right.
And I think the Lord goes before us in that way for sure. You know, this has been so valuable, Jamie. You know, if a viewer or a listener, you know, is sitting there saying, well, yeah, I kind of agree with it, you know, but and maybe they've caught things, haven't caught things. If they haven't caught anything, what is it you want them to remember of our conversation?
I believe it's this. We've got to have a vision for the, you just said it multiple times, the big C, the church, not just our church. I really believe we need to think about if the Lord tarries, who's going to be sitting in this chair when I'm done? Who's going to be sitting in, you know, Godibo, Oklahoma, which there is a Godibo, Oklahoma. Who's going to take that church out there? I willing to operate in some patriarchal role where I'm going to raise up somebody and not just raise them up, but it's like my kids. I'm going to provide for them. I'm willing to put my money, my time, where my mouth is to make sure that we're going to raise up ministers. If anybody's out there listening to this today, and boy, that's grabbed their heart, I would challenge them, figure out a way to put resources, to put energies behind about raising up individuals, whether they're coming through our Bible colleges, maybe they're interning at your church, or maybe there's just somebody sitting out there in the seats that God's hand is so clearly on their life. Maybe we need to ask the question, hey, do I need to raise them up in order to release them? Or let them take my role. I don't know. But let's be a place. In fact, I said this, I'll leave it this. I believe God's called each and every one of us, especially been in this thing for a while, to be a platform. And I'm not just talking about a stage. I'm talking about a launch platform, like a rocket. Lord, help me to be somebody that others can stand on my shoulders and launch into their calling. And I'm going to make sure that's possible.
Amen. 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 Wow, this has been so good, Jamie. I can't thank you enough for just the stimulating conversation on raising up this next generation of pastors and leaders. And to the viewers today and the listeners, thank you for hanging out with us. I would say we'd certainly love to have you rate and review the Church Tips Podcast, this particular episode. This helps us get the word out to more people. And certainly, if you have not subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And we'd love to have you get the regular content that's coming out from Leaders.Church, Church University, and good pastors like Jamie. Also, I want to mention to you that Jonathan Hardy and I have put together the Four Secrets Masterclass, which is it's a 60-minute masterclass designed to help you as a leader grow to the next level. Because one of the things we know, as a pastor gets better, the church gets better. And if a pastor is not growing, the church is not growing. So the masterclass is free to you. Just go to leaders.church/secrets, leaders.church/secrets, and you'll find generally about two or three options of times today and tomorrow that you can jump in, and we'd be honored to have you. Again, Jamie, thank you very much for being with us today.
Dick, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been a blast.
You bet. Okay, friend, thanks for hanging out at the Church Tips Podcast. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Hey, Jonathan here, real quick before you go. Everything in your ministry rises and falls on your leadership. So investing in your leadership is essential to staying healthy and growing the ministry. And that's why I want to invite you to join us inside the Leaders.Church membership. This online streaming service for pastors gives you access to more than 300 videos plus training material to level up your leadership and improve your ministry skills. If you'd like to do that, I want to invite you to go to leaders.church/boost. Again, that's leaders.church/boost. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Church Tips Podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.